This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States, the original $189 window company, online at windowworldst.louis.com. I am Paul Harris, Ian Geis, and Dan Strauss here in the studio with me, and now Colin Jeffrey, having just finished his top of the hour newscast, switches to showbiz boy mode as we talk about movies and TV in the showbiz segment of our show. Hi, Colin, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing just fine. Before we get to the movies that are opening this weekend and the other stuff, we have breaking news here about the Netflix series Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
Which I know, Ian, you were a big fan of, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you also watch the whole series, Colin?
I watched the first episode.
I gave up after one episode also.
I don't know how you two did that. Especially the media exposure it got. I just, I don't know.
Well, the story was about a guy who was convicted of the murder of a woman named Teresa Halbach in 2007. His name was Brendan Dassey, and he was convicted and sentenced to 41 years in prison on first-degree intentional homicide, second-degree sexual assault, and mutilation of a corpse. He was just 17 years old at the time, and just in the last hour, those convictions were overturned. John Diedrich of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this all took place in Wisconsin, is reporting that Brendan Dassey will go free in 90 days if the state doesn't refile the charges. According to TMZ, a federal judge in Milwaukee ruled that Dassey's constitutional rights were violated when authorities questioned him without an adult present because he was 17 years old. They also said that his learning disabilities made him more susceptible to coercion by interrogators. The judge also disapproved of the interrogator's use of bluffing during Dassey's questioning, telling him at least 21 times that they knew exactly what happened to Halbach, and so he might as well just tell them. The judge felt that that would have had a larger-than-usual effect, on Dassey because of his learning disabilities. And if you didn't see the whole Making a Murderer, it's about Dassey and his uncle Stephen Avery, who were both convicted for the murder of this woman on their family property in Wisconsin back in 2005. So is the uncle still in prison?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both still in prison. And that was one of the hardest things in that series to watch, is them take advantage of this kid. Essentially, after they forced him into confessing to a crime he obviously didn't do, he really didn't understand what was going on. So after they finally got him to confess, he goes, "All right, well, am I going to be able to get back to school like 1:30? I have a test I need to take today." He had no clue,
no
understanding at all, what was going on.
Mm. So this is just the breaking news, and now we'll see if Wisconsin wants to refile against him. I would think that having had the series expose all the stuff that you just talked about, that's got to be embarrassing for them from every angle.
Oh, yes.
And do they want to go through this again and look like they're piling on against this kid?
I can't imagine.
Who's got some, you know, mental problems.
So. And there will be a second season of this because... one of the most famous lawyers, Zellner. I can't remember her first name, but she is Stephen Avery's lawyer now, and she's overturned, I don't know, 10 or 11 of these cases, including the case in Columbia, Missouri. The
Kathleen is the name you're thinking of.
Kathleen,
right?
Zellner, yeah. There was a murder in Columbia, Missouri, and she overturned that case.
The college kid who was got out of jail.
Ryan
of her.
Something.
Yes.
And he was in jail for almost 10, 11 years.
Right.
Ryan Ferguson, I think, was his
name. That's correct.
And so she's on this case now. So it's only a matter of time before Stephen Avery's case comes back up again.
Is that what the second season of Making a Murderer is going to be about?
I'm assuming they've been filming this whole time. That's
you don't think it's a different series about a different case?
No.
Wow.
Who
knows?
Said it's about this case.
Did they?
Yes,
okay.
They said it's about this one.
Okay. Well, so there's the breaking news. The nephew, the one with the learning disabilities, Brendan Dassey, could be getting out of jail in 90 days. Here's the part that I don't get. If the judge has ordered this, why does this guy have to stay in jail while the state decides whether they're going to refile charges or not?
Just
Not like he's going to run any.
Yeah.
And
that's the system for you.
It's not the Scott Sherman show today. That was yesterday. if this had happened yesterday, you would have had a whole hour of explanation from Scott. But there you go. So now let's talk about movies. We got three movies that are opening this weekend. You got the Disney movie Pete's Dragon, which is a remake. You have the Meryl Streep movie Florence Foster Jenkins, in which she plays a socialite who can't sing, but her husband, Hugh Grant, helps her get to Carnegie Hall, even though she can't sing. And by the way, not today, but next week, I think you could probably expect some Florence Foster Jenkins punishment music on the Harris Challenge, if I can find some. So that's opening this weekend. Neither of us saw either of those movies, but Colin did go see the Seth Rogen animated movie, Sausage Party.
I think there's also a movie called Anthropoid opening this week.
Okay.
And that is the based on true life events of a group.
Dan, it's based on true life events.
What?
A group of people trying to assassinate SS General Reinhard Heydrich. And if you don't know the name, that's fine. But you know the name of his most famous plan. It was called The Final Solution. And this was an attempt to assassinate him.
Okay, wait a second. This movie's called Anthropoid?
Anthropoid, yes.
How many people in the room thought Anthropoid was going to be a giant special effects movie? Bugs coming to kill people, or aliens, or something coming to kill people.
And yeah,
Anthropoid.
Anthropoid.
A robotic ant takes over.
that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think it's by Captain Fantastic. It was named by the same people who did Captain
Fantastic. Yes. Which was a great movie, but was horrible and was not about a superhero.
No, there's another
Anthropoid.
There's another movie coming out, Operation Chromite. And you say, what is that? That's a horrible name. This is coming out in a couple weeks. I plan to review this one. It's not real. It tells the story of some CIA operatives who in the early 70s were sent to do an investigation into NASA and catalog everything. And that's when they discover that the moon landing was a hoax.
Oh, come on.
But it's a fake movie. But it's just that's a horrible name again. Operation Chromite.
See, I hate when things like that happen, because then you get the nuts, the George Norrie people coming out of the woodwork believing that the
greatest... Well, they made a movie about it.
Well, wasn't it Marshall Faulk, too? Said he didn't see the moon landing.
I think it was a documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie he's talking about is Capricorn 1, and that was not about faking the moon landing. That was about going to Mars. Completely different.
Yes.
But you see, when these sort of things start coming around, you know, it's like the Michael Phelps cupping thing at the Olympics. Remember earlier this week, there were all those pictures of him.
He looks like he has pepperoni all over.
Yeah. He's got like a polka dot skin all of a sudden, because he's fallen for this pseudoscience called cupping, which is where you take a metal or glass cup and you heat up the air inside with a candle, and then you stick it on somebody's skin, and as it cools, the suction sucks the skin up a little bit and leaves behind these marks.
Hickeys.
Hickeys is a good way to put it, but with some people who get it, it actually burns them. And this is one of those things that, you know, it goes back centuries or even longer, maybe millennia, to ancient times, before we knew about science.
Yep.
Before we knew about medicine.
It's an ancient Chinese secret.
Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Seven herbs and spices.
But you know that there were people who saw that who are now going to go to their doctors and ask for it. And it's like acupuncture and all this other nonsense that gets publicized. And, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow is an advocate of cupping. This is also the woman who told women you should steam your vagina. So now think about that, and think about whether you should ever, if Gwyneth Paltrow says, yes, that's something I endorse, should you immediately say, I'm never doing that, whatever it is. And it's the same thing with movies like this coming out.
You're not supposed to steam those things?
You are, but don't have Angela do it, whatever you do.
So I saw Sausage Party.
Yeah.
Sorry to get us off there, but yeah, there's some movies coming out.
I just get so peed off.
Speaking of steaming.
Yeah. I just get so PO'd when we have stories like this, especially when you could have done a great science story. Did you see the story this week about the woman who got married last weekend and was accompanied down the aisle by the man who had received her father's heart?
Yeah, how crazy was that?
When her father died, He donated his organs, and the guy who got her dad's heart agreed to come, and 10 years after he died, walk her down the aisle so she could feel like her dad was there on her wedding day. To me, that's a great real science story. Yeah. And by the way, if you tell that and give that as much publicity as the polka dot Michael Phelps skin cupping story, you might have other people go, oh, you know what? I'm going to make sure I donate my organs too, which we have a serious shortage of it in this country. But no, instead we're going to have idiots cupping now because thanks, media.
I donated an organ, but they didn't want it. It was a Hammond. And it
was it a B3?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was
that was an old one.
Yeah.
All right, now back to our review of Sausage Party, already in progress. Colin?
So, Sausage Party, it's a Seth Rogen movie because he voices the main character. But if you're saying, I haven't liked anything Seth Rogen has done in quite some time, this should hopefully reverse your opinion. I'm going to say a few things before I get into the plot, and I'm not going to give much away. It's not a thriller, but I don't want to give a lot away because why I liked this movie, they did an awful job promoting this. Like, an atrocious job. If you've seen the previews, what you think this is, it's an animated movie about food in a grocery store that discovers when it goes home.
People eat it.
People eat it. They didn't know that.
It's hot dogs and hamburgers and buns. And
it's everything.
Okay.
And sure, that is there. That's a structure of the movie. But there's so much more to this movie that makes it funny. And I don't want to get too much into that other than to say, if you've seen Toy Story, the idea of what happens when humans aren't looking to your toys, this is what happens when humans aren't looking to your food, at your food. And it sets it up. It starts off with a very cute sort of opening song, or what seems to be a cute opening song. About, oh, it's the beginning of the day and the grocery store is in this wonderful ears of corn are getting ready and they're all singing about their different things. And then you get to the sauerkraut and that is Hitler. And he sings about how he's trying to get rid of all the juice in the grocery store.
Really?
Yes. And so I'm setting this up. This movie is crude. Yeah, there's plenty. And yes, it's funny. You know, the first several times you see a cute little tomato say the F word. That's funny.
Hot dogs having sex with donuts?
No, the buns.
A buns, okay.
Yes. So he's named Frank, and his girlfriend is in a package next to him, and she's a hot dog bun, and it is approaching the 4th of July. So they're very excited that they're going to get to go home. Yes. And I really, I don't want to, he ends up out of his packaging, and his girlfriend has to leave her packaging. They think they're going to go to the great beyond, which is what they believe when we leave with a human, it's all great. But then you follow the story of another dog in his package or sausage in his package that makes it home. And he realizes the horrible truth that the humans eat us.
Oh,
okay.
And so you've seen that in the previews.
Yes.
The rest of the movie is not meditative, but it's getting you, if you are a religious person, go see this, and I'd like to hear from you at some point about what you thought of this. Because this is something where it's designed to get you to question your faith in a way, or your beliefs in religion. And that's because on their quest to find out what actually happens when you leave. So we've got Seth Rogen as the hot dog bun. Then we've got some other main characters. We have a taco. We have a taco shell who's also on the quest. And then we have my two favorite side characters in a comedy in quite some time. We have a bagel. That is played by Edward Norton doing a spectacular Woody Allen impression for the entire movie.
Really?
For the entire movie. And he is accompanied by lavash, a Middle Eastern, I guess.
Sort of bread, flatbread.
Yeah, flatbread. And they have an ongoing struggle because the lavash identifies as a Palestinian and the bagel identifies as
Jewish.
A Jew. And so we have this wonderful case at which they're saying, oh, we're on the same aisle. And the lavash is like, well, you guys started taking over more of our space on the west side of the aisle. It means it's
really?
So on the nose. There's a black character. It's a box of grits. There are, I mean, you hear Dan laughing, and the reason this works is because it's not people up there. If there were people saying some of the things that are said in this movie, there would be organizations picketing this. Mm-hmm. But it's a box of cereal and syrup and a bottle of whiskey, and and it all works. They skewer every religion, every race of people. It's not as if it's all about these. It is everything.
See, I thought this was just a raunch fest.
No, no.
There's actual social commentary going on here. So
yes.
It sounds a little bit like it might appeal to the South Park crowd.
Yes, that's a very good description of how it feels at times in this movie, is like that. I will say this. The first two acts are, okay, this is really funny. They're going to toss some things at you that are surprising. You're going to laugh. The third act of this movie is so unlike everything else. And there's one scene at which it's like, there's a scene at which the entire tone of the movie changes.
Okay.
And it's great.
Okay.
As funny as the first two acts of this movie, the third is so much funnier. This is not for kids. This is not for kids.
Yeah, we need to say that a third time. This movie is not for children. Don't take your kids to see Sausage
and
Party.
I don't mean like, my 15-year-olds. You're not going to want to sit next to your 15-year-old or 16-year-old if you're like, I'm the cool parent. I'm going to take them to go see this. He had to remove...
Situations?
He had to remove pubic hair from one of the...
Characters.
A piece of food in order to eliminate the NC-17 rating.
Really?
This is so close to the line and seemingly over. You're not going to want to even sit in the same theater as your kids if you decide, we're going to go see this. No. If your 16-year-old has to see this in the theaters and you're okay with it, buy him a ticket to a different showing. But do not see that. You will be uncomfortable sitting in the same theater as your kids.
Now, I'm looking at the list of people who are voices in this.
Oh, it's A-list cast.
Seth Rogen, Kristen Wiig.
Iris Apatow, which is Judd Apatow's wife.
Jonah Hill.
Michael Cera.
Yeah.
And then some of the best voice acting in this.
James Franco and Bill Hader and Salma Hayek and Nick Kroll.
Nick Kroll is the villain in this.
Danny McBride does voice work in it. Craig Robinson, Paul Rudd, and on and on and on.
Yes. So Nick Kroll is the villain in this, and he plays a piece of feminine hygiene. He plays a feminine hygiene product.
Okay.
We're going to leave it at that.
Okay.
You just need to go into this prepared to laugh. And I think, to me, this is the funniest movie of the year.
Wow.
And I went in thinking this was going to be a roll-your-eyes Seth Rogen making a bunch of pot jokes and, food, isn't it funny? This was so much more than I expected it to be.
Wow.
I thoroughly enjoyed this, and it had one of my favorite features. Again, I say go see comedies in theaters, because there's the energy. There was a woman in the screening I went to with one of the all-time great movie laughs. She laughed half a second before everyone, and it was just one of these laughs you could hear through the entire
contagious
theater. And it was was such a great laugh.
So that being said, is there any reason that you have to see this in a movie, that the big screen would help it as opposed to watching it when it comes out on video?
No. I mean, this is going to have a huge half-life on video streaming services because, this is... There are definitely quotable moments in this movie, but it's just really, like, I want to see it again because I feel like there were times when people were laughing so hard we missed a joke.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see movies, like, at least two times when they're that funny, because you do miss the jokes.
And that's why I watch movies like this at home.
Yeah.
But it's worth it to go and be a part of this because it's fun, because it's uncomfortable at times. They are making blatantly racist stereotypes. Mm-hmm. But again, it works because it's not a person. It's why Blazing Saddles, Mel Brooks, went and got a large group of black actors to portray it, because he's like, I want to say things in this, and I need these actors so I can say this.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly just said, how can we say this stuff? Oh, let's toss a bottle of soy sauce in here, and we can make a joke.
Of course, here's the difference. Blazing Saddles was co-written by Richard Pryor, and so Mel Brooks could go to Richard Pryor and say, Richie, listen, I want to do this. Is this okay? And Pryor would go, maybe if we change it a little bit here. Now, this was Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg and Jonah Hill. There's no racial minority being represented in that room.
No, there were a few other people that have been involved in the projects that wrote. It's funny, though.
Okay. And so what do you give it on a scale of 10?
I give it an 8. I mean, a really solid 8. I will say this. There might have been one scene that could have been cut, but this can't be more than 85 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
It's the perfect length, and there might have been one, like, 2 or 3 minute scene where you're going to... It's almost like a deep breath because you've been laughing, but it still sort of drags at that one scene. It was just a tight little movie.
Would you tell people who are easily offended to not go see this movie?
You know what? I'd tell them to go see it and get offended. Like, just go get offended. You know, I'd paint a very different picture because I'd love to see them come back to me and be like, why'd you send me to go see this? I left after 30 minutes. Like, that would be fun. But yeah, I mean, it's... If you're offended, you know... You're going to be offended here. Let's just put it that way.
It's safe to say that if you're listening to this show, the chances of you being offended by Sausage Party, much lower than if you were listening to somebody else.
Yeah. So is this a true story, then?
I don't know.
It's based on.
Possibly.
Well, food and eating.
Food?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got to talk about some sequels that have been announced that will make you roll your eyes, and also talk about some TV stuff, including the Olympic ratings being way, way down compared to 4 years ago. All that and more as we continue with the showbiz stuff here in a moment on the Big 550 KTRS. What is this?
Rick? Hi, welcome back to Hollywood Squares. Here's your host, Paul Harris.
No. It sounded like it.
And Paul Lynn.
What is it?
It's a band called Brick with their hit Dancing Man.
I've never heard this song before in my life.
Just to watch.
And let's not hear any more of it.
This could be punishment music.
It's no Florence Foster Jenkins, that's for sure. So, Colin, before we get on to the other stuff, I forgot to ask you if Sausage Party, which you loved so much, although you only gave it an 8 out of 10, is it going to rule the weekend box office?
No. Suicide Squad is still out there. But what it could do is surprise everyone, because Pete's Dragon has been getting lukewarm reception. And Pete's Dragon is another Disney real life.
Wasn't there already a movie called Pete's Dragon?
1977.
Okay. Yeah.
77?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so 40 years have gone by. That's two generations of people who don't even know what Pete's Dragon is.
Well, I don't think the first generation knew much about it because it wasn't a big hit. So let's not oversell the original.
Yeah, I don't.
I think you're probably right.
Pete's Dragon was expected to do well, but it's not getting great reviews. Secret Life of Pets is still out there. There are still good family options. And on the other hand, Sausage Party had a huge Thursday night for an R-rated comedy, nearly $3.5 million. It's projected to do $13 million today.
I'm going to take the over.
I mean, it's gonna do well.
If you do $3.5 million on Thursday night, you're going to do more than $13 million for the weekend, right?
No. $13 million today.
Oh, today. Oh, wow.
Today it will be at $13 million,
okay.
And then so we could see upwards of $30 million, which would be great for a movie that cost $19 million to make.
And Suicide Squad, the critics, including you, hated the movie, and it's a huge hit.
Yeah, because it's critic proof. The people who are big DC or comic book fans are going to go see it anyway. It made like $135 million last week.
All right, well, then let's talk about a big flop from just a few weeks ago, the Ghostbusters reboot.
Yeah.
With the four female leads. Made, you know, over $100 million, but they say when all is said and done and the global totals come in, that movie is going to lose something like $70 million.
Yeah, had a pretty healthy budget of $144 million, so when you factor in when you factor in all the Hollywood magic
and the marketing and that stuff,
that's close to like 290.
Okay,
double it.
All right.
Right now, it's at 182 million worldwide. So a couple more weeks out there, not making, you know, making a few million dollars a weekend, a few million dollars each week. Mm-hmm. It's not going to make a ton of money.
That is too bad because it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. And it got kind of the endorsement of Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, who made cameos.
Yeah, they're in it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad movie at all. No. And it's a shame to see this, but I think we saw what the concern was, is there were a lot of people who hated the trailer. And it was a bad trailer.
Yes.
But they're like, they never gave it a chance. And then there's a group of people that said, oh, why are they remaking this with all women? That's stupid. We don't need a Ghostbusters with all women.
How about
women.
The idiots who said, you're ruining my childhood?
Yeah.
Which is impossible unless you have a time machine. But you know what ruined your childhood when it came to Ghostbusters? Ghostbusters 2. That movie sucked. So when I read today, well, this Ghostbusters didn't do well enough to have a sequel, I thought, good. They shouldn't do a sequel because Ghostbusters sequels don't work. We've proven that already.
I think what frustrates me about it is I'm one of these people who's, and I think it's a common sentiment, Melissa McCarthy needs to stop bouncing off stuff.
Yeah.
And aside from one scene in that movie, she's not that character.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did a good job in this movie. I think all of the women did a good job in this movie.
I agree.
And it's, again, it's not an entirely unique... It's not a unique idea. We're rebooting something.
Speaking of reboots, did you see that they're going to make a new Mary Poppins?
That's necessary. Goodness.
Mary Poppins with Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's hot because he created Hamilton, and it's been a smash, and he starred in that. And they're trying to get Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke to make cameos.
Oh.
You better make the movie fast. Dick Van Dyke just turned 90.
Yeah. He looked pretty good, though, for 90.
Oh, yeah, he looks good, and he can still dance, but...
Chim Chim Chiru again?
Chim Chiminy, Chim Chim.
They're also making, how about this, they're rebooting Splash.
No one has any original ideas anymore.
No,
Sausage Party.
Oh, Sausage Party.
Sausage Party is original.
That's right.
Anthropoid is original.
What the heck?
Terrible name.
We already forgot. We talked about it 15 minutes ago.
Oh, that's right. It was a true story. You said it sounds like a bug.
Yeah. So, Splash, which starred Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah and a very funny turn by the late John Candy, they're going to remake this, but instead of having a mermaid, we're going to have a merman played by Channing Tatum.
There you go.
And with a female role, which will become the role that Tom Hanks played, they'll flip it and make it a woman. That'll be played by Gillian Bell.
That's quite a fin you got there, Merman.
That's not a fin. Womp, womp, womp. By the way, this Splash reboot is going to be produced by Ron Howard and Brian Grazer. Ron Howard and Brian Grazer made the original movie. By the way, when I tell you they're going to make this movie, they don't have a script yet. They have the producers who want to make it and the stars who have signed on to do it, but you don't have a script yet. I think it should be illegal to announce we have an idea for a movie.
Yeah, I've got an idea for a movie. And then Beaches. Is that on your list?
What?
Beaches.
No.
Beaches. Bette Midler gave her blessing.
And Barbara Hershey?
Yeah. Idina Menzel from Frozen and Wicked. She got the okay to remake Beaches.
You know who else was in that movie? What's her name?
I've never seen Beaches.
The woman from Big Bang Theory.
Kaylee Cuoco.
Blossom.
Blossom.
Mayim Bialik.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in that movie
Who's
also.
Who's breastfeeding her four-year-old still? That's really? Not a joke. Like, she's at three or four or something? Yeah.
Yeah, she's an anti-vaxxer, so I don't like her. Bad Santa 2 is coming at Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
With Billy Bob Thornton coming back in the role with Kathy Bates and Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
I saw the trailer for that. It basically is the same thing.
Looks like they're making the same movie again. Yeah.
Except the fat kid's older.
Yeah, the fat kid's older.
And how about this?
He's fat and older.
How about this for a
less cute. Decidedly less cute when it's an 18-year-old kid that's now over. It's just like, this is kind of sad. Stop eating the Twinkies.
So let me get this straight. You've got a drunk Santa and a fat teenager.
Yeah.
How is that a movie? And how about this one? Ocean's 8.
Oh.
Because we did 11. Which was good. 12, not so much. 13, also not so much. Now, Ocean's 8 with women.
I know.
Pulling off the con. Cate Blanchett, Sandra Bullock, Mindy Kaling, Anne Hathaway, Rihanna, Helena Bonham Carter, and a rapper named Awkwafina. A-W-K-W-A-F-I-N-A.
I like the water.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah. But you know what? Why?
I guess they couldn't get the rapper Dasani.
Why? Why eight? Do the women think they're so much better than the men that they can have three less?
I don't know, but I'm amazed that Cate Blanchett is agreeing to do something like this. She's,
and Anne Hathaway.
Well, Anne Hathaway needs a hit. Did you see The Intern?
That's right.
So I don't know when that's coming out.
Sandra Bullock, right?
Yes.
Why is she doing it? Money. Academy Award winner Sandra Bullock.
Well, what's the last time she's been
starring alongside Rihanna and Awkwafina?
She was in Gravity just a couple of years ago. The Blind Side?
She doesn't need to make
that's
movies.
What, two movies in the last 10 years?
The Proposal. No, she's done a lot of...
Yeah, she makes money.
Crap.
Yeah. Well, like romantic comedy.
Yeah, she does chick flicks. That's why you don't know it.
Crap. Oh, the Proposal was pretty good. I loved Betty White in that.
Yeah.
Speaking of The Big Bang Theory, they're starting their 10th season next month, and the cast and the producers say they have no plans to end it at 10 years.
Ugh.
I told my wife this because we watched the show, and she said, they better not have a baby on that show. But I think that Howard and Bernadette are having a baby this season. So
maybe they'll send it to the space station. That seemed to work.
That might be the end of it.
Antarctica, something.
Olympic ratings way down. 25% overall, 33% in the money demo. How do you explain that?
Because they're doing something stupid. And kudos to CBS, ABC, and Fox. CBS the other night, the women's all around, not the individual, but the team all around.
Gymnastics?
Yes. 5 o'clock, ABC or CBS National News, 5:30, whenever it is. We have some news to report at this time, and just keep in mind... We have some news to report, and it's news. It's not our fault. You haven't seen it on TV. The U.S. women won the all-around. They did exactly right. Everyone should report on it. And NBC, being gymnastics is the most watched thing. Swimming is second most. So I get it. You want to show swimming live when you can.
In prime time.
But you can't show 2 hours of the gymnastics, go to 2 hours of swimming, or an hour, and then go back to gymnastics. The event ended 7 hours earlier.
And in a world where you can find out everything on your phone anytime you want...
Not just one. I had things popping up that were like, oh, congratulations to Simone Biles. And I'm like, well, got to watch this tonight. I guess I'll see how it's done. But, yeah, that's why. They need to stop tape delaying it. And this goes back to my idea that I pitched to them on Tuesday, and they laughed at me. I would pay $75 or $99 every 4 years to have unfettered access to the Olympics live, whatever events I wanted, at any time.
Don't you have that on NBCOlympics.com?
No, because then I can't go back and watch them on demand. I want something that will bring to me on my TV wherever I'm watching it. And
they have pay per view for a couple Olympics?
They did. What was it called? The triple cast? Remember
yes.
that?
Yeah.
Where you paid and you got three channels worth. Now I don't know about on other systems, but I have AT&T UVerse. There's a dedicated Olympic basketball channel, Olympic soccer channel, another Olympics experience channel that goes from sport to sport, and you can watch a lot of these things live because NBC is covering every event. And if you desperately wanted to see live archery, it's there for you on TV.
It was triple cast for the 92 Olympics in Barcelona.
Yeah.
No one
was. Huge financial failure.
Huge. Yeah, just like this year, they expected so many people to be watching the streams, and they worried that that might take away from the television viewing. Well, they are getting people watching some of the streams, but more people are finding out, like you said, what happens either afterwards or watching it on demand, which you can in many cases,
mm-hmm.
or just watching the clips the next day.
Yeah.
Or later on in the same day. I hate it when they save the big event for the end of prime time. You know?
So dumb. Especially when it happened 7 hours. At least it's better than it was in, what was it? Beijing, when they were 12 hours behind.
I'm not watching them at all, so doesn't affect me at all. Speaking of rebooting things, Stephen Bochco has been talked into rebooting L.A. Law.
Uh-huh.
Which was a huge series on NBC in the 80s and 90s. I went back to look at Stephen Bochco's career. This guy had three hit TV series in a row that kept him on the top of the ratings for 25 years.
That's amazing.
He did Hill Street Blues from 81 to 87, L.A. Law from 86 to 94, and then NYPD Blue from 93 to 2005.
Didn't his family have that chocolate stuff, too?
Oh, my gosh. Hotchko?
Oh, yeah. That's delicious.
Yeah.
Actually, I prefer the Hershey syrup. But I don't know if they're going to reboot this and try to find Corbin Burnson's old face, but that is looking forward to...
It's an all-female cast.
All right.
Somebody call Susan Day. She needs a job.
Susan Day.
And what's the name of the Netflix series you were telling me about in the hall that you want to mention that's opening?
The Get Down. It started airing today. It's Baz Luhrmann's, I guess we'll call it, ode to the beginning of rap and the hip-hop scene in 1977.
Now, is this going to be as bad as Martin Scorsese and Mick Jagger's ode to the rock and roll era with with vinyl?
I will tell you this. Fight through the first episode. It's a little cumbersome at times. It's 90 minutes long. But the last 15 to 20 minutes, you can see where the rest of the series is going to go. Still, I think the characters are charming. I think it feels right. And if you can get past Baz Luhrmann's infatuation with him showing us stuff that isn't about the story, then I think you'll enjoy it. Okay. I've liked what I've seen so far.
It's called Get Down?
The Get Down.
Okay. Have you checked out Marcella yet?
No. I was waiting for this. I'll watch it this weekend. Just for you, I'll watch it this weekend. Okay. I'll be done. We'll talk about it.
That's the one I recommended last week. It's on Netflix, and I'm still recommending it this week.
Okay.
And that's our showbiz stuff for this week on the Big 550 KTRS.